Baruch Hashem, it's been a busy day. Baruch Hashem, it's been a very, very full day. We got to do some very unusual types of Avos Hashem. We got out of the usual routines of mitzvahs that we do. And we had got to have a day that was a mix of unique Avos Hashem and the typical type of Avos Hashem with added intensity. You know, there's a Rashi that you all know, coming up in just a couple weeks from now. Parshas Vayishlach. Yaakov Avinu is headed to meet Esav. He's headed for a very uncertain type of meeting with a very, very, very hostile Esav. And Rashi says he prepares himself. You look at the Chumash, he prepares himself in three ways: Doron, Milchama, and Tefillah. Gifts, he prepares for war, and he prepares for davening. In other words, his physical, practical preparation was both diplomatic and military. The gifts were a form of diplomacy. At the same time, he was prepared with a backup. He was prepared to engage Esav militarily if he would need to. Combined with those two practical preparations, he prepared himself spiritually through tefillah, through recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, that he wants us to do our part. Efforts are on us, results are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His efforts included both Doron and tefillah, both friendly diplomacy and, if need be, tough war, as well as an underlying base of tefillah, of reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So over the course of the day, we had some unique opportunities to mishtadel in the world of Doron, diplomacy. We had, Baruch Hashem, the chance to hear very positive messages from a number of the leaders of our political leaders of our country. And we had the chance to send a message. Hopefully we'll help positively. And if need be, messages in our presence. Baruch Hashem, close to 300,000 Jews and our friends together in D.C. sends a strong statement that will back up the milchama that Sa'al is involved in right now. So now we're on our way back. I want to talk about going back. I want to talk about the third aspect, the preparation of tefillah, the spiritual aspect of our work, and specifically about going back. Because so much of tefillah is about thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So much of tefillah is recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and be mechazek our emunah. Be mechazek our emunah allows us to pivot not only from the spiritual work of tefillah to an additional spiritual work. We say Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we think about Roa HaGzeira, difficult, painful Gzeira, Tshuva, Tefillah, and Tzedakah, Marvinus Roa HaGzeira. We're dealing with Roa HaGzeira right now, and tefillah is not enough. Now, I want to take a look for a couple of minutes at a sefer that we all know, stories that we all know. Let's try an experiment. Can you hear me like this? Can you hear me in the back? Awesome. There's a story that we all know, but maybe never actually thought about. And it's a story that speaks to us a lot in terms of coming back. What it looks like to come back, what it looks like to deepen our sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. The story is the story of Yonah. We've heard it, most of us, if not all of us, have heard it since we're little kids. We laid it every Yom Kippur. We know Yonah, the boat, the whale, we all know that. You might remember your kindergarten projects with Yonah and the whale. But let's break it down a little bit, because like every part of Torah, it might also be for little kids, but it certainly isn't only for little kids. So a couple of quick questions. The first parak of Yonah. Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yonah. He tells Yonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital of a rising superpower. Ashur was rising in significance at the time. They would ultimately become the dominant power in the Middle East. A couple of decades later, they would come and threaten Eretz Yisrael as well. But at this point, they're not yet there. And they're way down with chet. They're way down with sin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yonah, I want you to go and get them to clean up their act. Get them to do tshuva. What does Yonah do? He runs the other way, literally. He's supposed to go east to Iran, to Iraq, to Nineveh. Instead, he goes west. Jumps in a boat and he heads into the water. Why is he running away? Torah says, Sukkim say, He was running away mi lifnei Hashem. Run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the boat, he's running away, and I hear all these conversations with the sailors. The sailors engage with him. There's a big storm at sea. They start talking to him. The captain starts talking to him. And over the course of the parak, Yonah ultimately gets thrown into the water. He says, the storm is because of me. It's because I'm not listening to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Throw me into the water. But we keep hearing about the sailors. We keep hearing about how the sailors are becoming very religious. And they're very moved. By the end of the parak, they're ready to bring karbanos to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Think about that first parak. A couple of questions. Yonah's a Navi. He had spoken with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knew a lot more about God than we do. And even we know, you can't run away. You can't escape. Why does he think that he can... he's going to hop on a boat and God won't find him? The whole thing is so strange. Second question is, what's with those sailors? Why do we need to hear the stories about Yonah? And about how ultimately after he ends up in the water, he gets out of the water, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to him a second time, he does go to Nineveh, and the people of Nineveh respond to his message. So what do we need to hear so much about those sailors? And then, it gets even stranger when you actually get to Nineveh. In the third parak of Yonah shows up in Nineveh. Again, Nineveh is one of the largest cities in the world. Pesukim tells over 1 million people live in Nineveh in ancient times. That was enormous. Yonah shows up. Five-word speech. We heard long speeches today. We heard short speeches today. Five-word speech. Od arba'im yom v'ninveh nefaches. Yonah comes and says, 40 days Nineveh is going to be overturned if you guys don't do tshuva. And the place is hopping and bopping. The Pesukim describe the moment he gives that speech. People are doing tshuva. The king hears about it. He brings people back. He's pushing them further. Simple question. Some of you live in big in New York City. Some of you live in the suburbs. We all come into New York City every day. Imagine a guy shows up. We've never heard of him before. Guy gets up in the middle of New York City and says, God spoke to me and he told me, it's time for you to do tshuva. What would the reaction be? No, we're paying attention. We just breeze right by. Right? We actually, on the train to D.C., we met someone who was an interesting message. And we did not pay him much heed. Strange. So we're not sure why Yonah think running away was going to help. We're not sure why we have to hear so much. Why the Pesukim tell us so much about the back and forth of the sailors and the growth of the sailors. And we're not sure, number three, why did anyone in Nineveh listen to him? And finally, question number four. In the fourth chapter, after Yonah's in Nineveh, and he engages the people of Nineveh, and they respond very positively. They do tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to destroy Nineveh. Chapter 4 is where Yonah goes up onto a hilltop, overlooking Nineveh, and watching to see what was going to happen. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand how you work. These people are evil. They want to, they're coming at the Jewish people. Why? Because they did a little bit of tshuva, everything changes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains a little bit, doesn't explain too much, and we never hear Yonah respond. What's the deal with the end of Nineveh? With the end of Yonah? So again, four questions. Number one, where is Yonah going? Why does he think he can escape? Number two, why do we have to hear so much about the sailors? Number three, why do the people in Nineveh listen to Yonah? And number four, why does the story of Yonah end with Yonah the man still bothered by a question? Four questions. So here we go. Yonah knew. The answer all lies in a single letter. The Ibn Ezra Adak, I believe, point out, it doesn't say that he was running away mi pinei Hashem. Yonah wasn't trying to run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was running away mi lifnei Hashem. He was running away from the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yonah knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu would know where he was. But he didn't want to get more messages of Nevuah. He wasn't interested in helping to support the nation that would ultimately come to attack the Jewish people. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell him to go. He didn't want to go. So Yonah says, I'm not going to listen, but I don't need to get more prophecy. I don't want to hear more messages from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let me get out of Eretz Yisrael, away from the lands of prophecy. Let me get into the sea on a boat. People get seasick. They can't focus. You're not getting any nivu on a boat. And how does Kadosh Baruch Hu respond? How does Kadosh Baruch Hu respond?
Sends him off the boat.
Right. He says, you want to escape Nineveh? You don't want to lead the people of Nineveh to Tshuva? I'm not going to force you to go to Nineveh. But what does happen right away is on the boat, in trying to escape his mission of leading Umos Olam to Tshuva, without even trying, the sailors are already doing Tshuva. As Yonah's going deeper and deeper, ultimately into the water, we're watching the sailors rise higher and higher. And first they're just sort of very loosely motivated, then become sharper and fine. By the end of the parak, they're ready to bring kavaras to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is already messaging Yonah that you can make your choices, but Kadosh Baruch Hu has a plan in mind that you're going to reach that destination. And then it gets even better. Because we wondered before, and the Radak wonders, he gets to Nineveh, he gives a five-word speech, and this city of a million people, this enormous metropolis, this world center, they care about what Yonah says. Why they listen? Radak says something amazing. Radak says, you know why they listen? Because back on the boat, what did the sailors know? The sailors knew that Yonah has some sort of message. It's clearly a very important message for Nineveh. He's refusing to deliver the message, and that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu is making this miracle. This one boat storm is affecting just their boat. This is all about Yonah and his message. They know there's some miraculous message Yonah has, and they saw Yonah in the middle of the Mediterranean. They may have even seen Yonah get swallowed by an enormous sea creature. And they know there's some miraculous message for Nineveh, but they're never going to hear because Yonah perished in the middle of the ocean. Word, they get back, the sailors get back to shore, and eventually word makes its way to Nineveh. There's some important miraculous message that you guys need to hear, but you're never going to hear because the prophet died at sea. A couple of months later, in walks the prophet. Baharag Viraglav, the man who had died in the middle of the ocean, has miraculously survived. The people of Nineveh had been primed for this message. He walks in, he has a captive audience. They're all ears. Everyone's listening to what Yonah has to say. And here's the deep irony. Why did they listen to Yonah? If he would have gone straight, no one would have paid any attention to him. But because he was trying to escape his mission and ran to the ocean instead of going to Nineveh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to run away. But not only did he end up fulfilling his mission despite his bad decision, he fulfilled his mission through his bad decision. It was through running away that he powered his capacity to ultimately make impact on Nineveh. And Yonah begins to see an important lesson that he's teaching us also. That the world does operate on two levels simultaneously. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us free will to operate, and free will to make decisions for better or for worse, and we're meant to make the better choice. And at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't let his world be hefker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is managing his world and results even as he gives us the opportunity to make good or bad choices in terms of our decisions. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that the people of Nineveh have the opportunity to do tshuva, whether with Yonah's cooperation or through Yonah's choice to ignore Kadosh Baruch Hu's message. And finally, here's one last critical message. One last critical lesson. We already spoke about three questions. We have a fourth. We were wondering, why was Yonah running away? And the answer was, he didn't want to get more nevuah. And why do we hear so much about the sailors? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu was showing him that I want you to accomplish this and it's going to happen, even when you're trying to do the opposite. Why do the people of Nineveh listen to him? Exactly. Because he had sought to escape, it was through his attempt to escape that they were primed to believe him when he finally showed up. And finally, the end of Yonah. Yonah ends in the fourth parak. Yonah's up on the hill overlooking Nineveh. And he's bothered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand how you operate. The people of Nineveh, they're evil people. They did a little bit of tshuva. Therefore, all of a sudden, everything is resolved and they get to survive. I don't understand what's going to happen. What's going to happen to Klal Yisrael? And we don't necessarily get clarity at the end. Did he get an answer to his question? Did he fully understand the answer to the question? HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers the question. But the curtain falls right after Rebbe Shalom speaks. We don't know whether Yonah says, oh, now I get it. Or he says, no, but I'm still troubled by the question. But that's an amazing lesson for you and I. Because Yonah's tshuva, the sailors did tshuva, the people of Nineveh did tshuva, most importantly, Yonah did tshuva. Yonah's tshuva wasn't that now he understood. He didn't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to go to Nineveh the first time, so he didn't go. The second time he did go, but it wasn't because, oh, now I get it, so now I'll do what Hashem wants because now I get it. What you see is he still didn't understand. He still had questions. A Jew can be a good Jew and have questions. Yonah had plenty of questions. And he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about it. And it's not clear that he ever got resolution to those questions. The change was that he recognized the first time his questions held him back from doing what he needed to do. The second time around, he said, I have questions, and I'm going to deal with those questions. I'm going to ask those questions, but if I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects to do something, my performance doesn't depend on my understanding. I realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite and I'm finite. I realize there may be things I don't understand, and I am humble enough to say, I'm going to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, whether I understand or not. I'm also going to seek to understand, but my performance, my acting properly, and doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do doesn't have to depend on, it's not going to wait for me to understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it, I'm there. And that's Yonah 2.0. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to go to Nineveh, I'm going to Nineveh. I have questions, I'll raise them later. I'm going to ask them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to ask questions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the same time wants us to have the humility to recognize we may not always get all the answers to our questions as soon as we'd like, and my fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem doesn't depend on my, doesn't have to wait for my understanding. So this little story of Yonah that we've heard since we're little kids is a story of coming back, of tshuva, and it's a mature, deep story of tshuva. It's a story of watching different people do tshuva in different ways. The sailors do tshuva, the people in Nineveh do tshuva, most importantly maybe Yonah himself does tshuva. And Yonah's tshuva is rooted in a greater appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. And that's part of what we seek to do. Whenever we're in a difficult situation, we're in a very difficult situation as a nation, part of the response is to mechazek our emunah. Part of the response is to remember that HaKadosh, remind ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and that He cares deeply about the world as a whole, and about each of us in particular, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is intimately involved in our lives as a nation and as individual people. Sometimes in ways that we get, sometimes in ways that we don't understand right away. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding our lives. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately bringing us to Bias HaMashiach, to the perfected state of this world. We don't always see the path, and we have the humility to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, even when we don't always immediately see the path. And we have the humility to recognize that, on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about my decisions so much, that He has expectations for how I will live. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rooting for me to do the right thing, and I recognize that my good decisions matter tremendously, and that my understanding matters, but at the same time, I can do the right thing even before I understand, even while I seek to make sense of things also. These are some of the lessons of tshuva, of growth, of emunah, and of thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we draw from a familiar story. As we grow older, we understand more. Hopefully this will help us continue to grow together. Boys, I want to thank you once again. It was awesome. You guys were awesome. I think we made a real impact. The city was gavaldic. Enjoy the rest of your trip. We got Marv when we get there. There'll be some Q&A in the front for those who are interested.